Hello, and welcome to the Swift Talk. I'm Kate, the Swifty.
I'm the not Swift one, who's also not the Kate one. I'm the Sam one. I'm not so Swift Sam.
There we go. We're getting there. Like, you're getting to remember who you are each morning.
Yeah. Where am I? It's like memento. I have all these little handwritten notes of, like, Taylor Today.
Taylor Today. Mm-hmm. That could have been the name.
Taylor Today. Welcome to Taylor Today.
I like the Swift Talk better.
If we were on the BBC, if we were on BBC Four, we'd do Taylor Today.
Yeah.
Or Radio BBC.
But we're not proper enough for that.
No, we'd be like the Cockney Taylors. God. The Cockney Taylors. That's going to be our band name.
Anyway, moving on. Moving forward. Happy springtime. It was kind of spring this week.
Yeah, it was kind of spring. It's getting nicer. It's getting a little bit warmer, getting a little rain, getting a little sun.
Yeah, mixed bag, New England.
Mixed bag, New England.
Mud season.
Speaking of mixed bags, what's new with Taylor, Kate?
Not much. She's a very quiet individual. Nothing happened.
There is no...
No surprise, nothing.
Surprise album on April 15th?
Nope, there was nothing.
Ah, shoot.
Just a lot of crickets from Miss Swift.
I saw her man talking, though.
Kind of.
Sort of, kind of.
Yeah. They asked him about his relationship, and he said, we keep it private. And he kind of went into detail on it, but 5 years in, and they're still not talking about it.
Well, good for them. Yeah. One, he used we, which means that he's establishing that the relationship is real. It's not just a fever dream. That's we keep it private. They're making these decisions together. They're doing these decisions together. Good for him. Good for them. Good for us. America.
We can't go to new coffee places. This is weird today.
Apparently, I have a different high-octane coffee in my system than normal. Apparently, getting Kate a large iced tea from this new place has just been bad luck.
Yeah, I don't. No more. Nope, taking this off the list.
That one little change in the routine is like, oh, that drive-thru is really full. Let's go here instead. Has just...
Thrown me for a loop today. Throw me off my game.
You know... That's what life is all about, adapting. Yeah.
I just think all of my drinks from now on should come in a birthday cake chocolate unicorn.
Yes. So, Kate, the entrepreneur, the visionary that she is, the futurist, was one of the very smart people that said, oh, you know what's great about, hey Jason, you know what's one of the best things about Easter?
What is that, Sam?
Oh, the hollowed out Easter bunnies, the hollowed candies that we get.
Chocolates.
Sometimes people, they rag on those, don't they? They want the solid ones, right?
I don't know. I like dark chocolate ones, and I always get the milk chocolate ones.
But if you could prefer, would you prefer it hollow, or would you prefer it full, like solid?
As I get older, I don't like to bite into hard things. Mm. I like the softness. But that's just me.
That's just you. But what if I told you that you could take your hollowed Easter bunny.
Or unicorn.
Bite off its ears.
Cut off. You don't bite it off.
Or horn. And fill it with, I don't know, an espresso martini, a chocolate martini, any sort of dessert-esque liqueurs.
Chocolate liqueur. Like Godiva liqueur.
Like Godiva liqueur. Proud sponsor of some other podcast. Yeah, what if I told you you could drink delicious adult candy out of your hollowed candy?
That would be interesting.
What if I told you that if you walk into a bar with a unicorn Easter bunny that's hollow, they'll just pour a drink in it for you and be like, yep, you're that person. We'll allow you to do that.
Yeah. See, it's not as weird. Jason doesn't seem fazed by that. No. It's not weird.
It's interesting.
It's only weird if it doesn't work, Sam.
It's only weird if it doesn't work.
So what happened? You get hammered yesterday?
No.
Off of chocolate bunnies?
No. Saturday night, I had a birthday cake hollow unicorn. And then I had my kitchen guys saw the top off nice and neat. And I put an espresso martini in it. And now I feel like every drink should come in fun vessels. It's like every hot toddy should come in a teacup. Every espresso martini should come in a chocolate unicorn. Mm-hmm. Jason's unimpressed.
The More You Know is playing in the background, everybody.
I just like, I'm here for a gimmick. Give me all of the crazy glasses. I don't care.
All right. Well, we're thinking of different crazy glasses. Let's get into crazy.
In my wildest dreams, everything would come in something kitschy.
kitschy. All right, yeah. So we're doing Wildest Dreams.
We're doing Wildest Dreams. It's the re-record.
The re-record. Which album is this?
It's 1989, but she's released a single from it, and that's all we've heard. We'll get into that theory, too.
Okay. Just we'll talk about this. No,
we're going to listen to the song.
But it's per use. Okay, this is a re-recording, though.
Right.
From 1989.
Yeah.
But she's only released a single from it.
Yes.
So is this the single from it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need to know. I was like, how are we listening to this if there's another single that's the only one? Perfect. I get you now. I am on board. The wrinkle is forming.
Yeah, this coffee's not working for you either. No.
I feel like every time a wrinkle forms on my brain, there's one slowly creeping on your brow. You're just like furrowing your forehead being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Wildest dreams. In my wildest dreams, I don't make Kate crazy.
Mine too. We're going to hit pause. You hit pause and we'll be back. Well, Sam.
Hi, Kate.
What do we think?
I think that if my prom was being held in a like a dance hall club, this would be fun.
Okay.
But the prom's over for me. God. I'm not getting any corsages anytime soon. I don't need a boutonniere.
Really sticking with this metaphor.
I was going to say boutonniere. I was going to try and find her. I'm just, you know, Kate, let's be real. What do you think about this song?
I like Wildest Dreams. I think it's fun. We can start with, you should have no problem with this song. She says the title 8 times.
Yes, correct. I checked that off my box. I was, yep. She said what this song is in the song. That's
yeah,
good.
She said the title, so you should have no problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This also has, I'm gonna trademark this. It has the patented Taylor Swift climb and jump lyrical quality, because there's the moments where she's singing and it keeps on ascending and it's ascending and it's ascending. And then she gets to the top of the cliff and she jumps off of it. So she climbs up and then she jumps off, which I've heard in a couple of these songs so far. It very much made me feel like this was Brian Eno Jr. Like there was almost a wall of sound, but instead of being like the wall of sound, it was like the wall of just Taylor singing. Like it was her voice that was really the melody. It was the driving force. It's just the light electronic.
Well, you know what that is? That bump, that beat.
Well, it's supposed to be a heartbeat.
It's her heartbeat. It's her heartbeat.
It's her heartbeat at resting, correct?
Yes.
She hasn't quite done the climb yet or the jump. It's just her before the mountain being like, yep, I can do this.
Well, I think that was why it was so important for her to re-record this song early.
Because of the murmur she developed?
No.
Okay, sorry, go on.
So she owned... I can't believe you indulged that joke with that.
We get the Swift talk.
I can't believe... I cannot believe you indulged that joke with that, Jason.
How could you be so heartless? This week on the Swift Talk, 808s and Heartbreaks with Jason Landry. Okay, so it's her heartbeat.
It's very important. Wanted to own her heartbeat, which I think is reasonable.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of theories about... So, let's back up a little bit. She re-recorded this song off 1989, but she's done nothing else with that album.
Right.
And so a lot of people think it's because it became a TikTok trend and she wanted to own it. So she did it, put it out there so people could use the Taylor's version. And the Taylor's version actually jumped over the original version in Spotify listens in 2 days. So the original one's been out since 2016?
Yeah, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. And now you've got a re-recorded version that came out, and the Swifties were so adamant about getting it to be the only one they streamed that it actually had more streams than the entirety of the original. Isn't that crazy?
So I have a theory or something.
An Easter egg?
No, it's definitely not an Easter egg because Easter is over. She wanted to own her heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So if her heartbeat appeared in that first song,
It did, yeah.
And now she is making it in the second song. If it's the same beat per minute, is it actually like someone is doing a sample? Like, could they sue her because it is like a sample of the original because it's the exact same thing on the original song?
No, because no?
Did her heartbeat she change? Wrote it.
But she wrote it. It's her heartbeat. Her heartbeat is her, I guess, property. All of this is her property. So that's why she can completely re-record exactly as they were, because she has written the music, the lyrics, all of it. She has a writing credit on all of it.
Okay, so John Fogerty was in Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Creedence Clearwater Revival, the band that he was in, mm-hmm. sued him because one of his other songs sounded like a Creedence song.
The old man down the road from CCR.
So anything is weirdly possible.
Right.
But I'm curious if this old...
We actually learned a lot about this through her work with Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, please tell.
The new Disney ingenue that's coming out. And she wrote and put out the new album Sour, the song Driver's License That You Really Can't Escape. She used a sample or a little bit from a Reputation song. I think it was New Year's Day, which we've done. But Taylor doesn't own it. So she didn't want to give her the streaming or the sampling rights. So instead, Taylor and Jack Antonoff got credited for a writing credit on that song. So she could use the New Year's Day thing because Taylor and Jack had written and produced it and they couldn't do anything legally about it.
Okay.
I've learned so much. But there's a whole thing going on there too, which no one's really sure what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when Olivia got nominated for Grammys, Taylor and Jack were on that list and then they got removed from the list. So something's up, but I don't know.
That's pretty interesting. And like Jason was saying before with Fogerty and his song Old Man Down the Road and CCR's Run Through the Jungle, there were similarities. He was on the stand and he literally played through each song.
Right. But I think you have to get all of the writers who were on it to do it. I think there's something like some caveats and some idiosyncrasies. But I know that legally, that's how she can completely re-record everything. And there's nothing they can do about it.
It's just so strange.
Yeah. Well, Taylor. She came into it knowing how to protect herself a little bit.
So if this is her heartbeat.
Yeah.
Is this in some ways... Taylor is trying to create a clone of herself or reincarnate herself or build another like Taylor verse, but it's just like her body and soul in sound. Like we have the brain, which is her lyrics and her compositions. Now we have the heartbeat. Are we getting the soul at some point is going to transcend into sound and we're going to just have Taylor is noise, all noise. Are we going to have that? Like artificial intelligence, but it's just music.
No, I'm following. You know, you never know. She's always pushing boundaries. Evolving, as you may say.
Nice.
Anyway, so let's get back to the song.
Let's get back into the song. Say you'll remember me standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just pretend.
Well, yeah, it's about she says it's about a relationship that you go into knowing that it's probably not going to work out. And then you just hope everybody like leaves it with the same kind of fond memories, but you just know you're not going to be together.
Was this a fictional relationship?
She has never commented on it. There are some fan theories that think it's about a co-star of hers when she was in The Giver. And
Harrison Ford?
No.
Just checking. That's the only name I can remember, I think, that was in that movie.
Harrison Ford. No, it was Alexander Sorsky, or I can never say his last name right. Sorsgaard.
Skarsgård?
Yeah, Skarsgård.
One of the Skarsgård boys?
Yeah.
All right.
And apparently, the rumor is, who knows how true this is that she was really interested in him, and he was like, oh, you are too famous too, like, in the tabloids. I'm too private for this. No, thank you.
You'll see me in hindsight, tangled up with you all night, burning it down. Someday when you leave me, I bet these memories follow you around.
Yeah. I think everybody can kind of relate to that. Like, you date somebody for a little bit, and you realize it's not going to work. Your lives are different. You want different things. Mm-hmm. And you break up, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can look back, and it could either be happy, or it could be like, oh, that was it could bring you some joy.
Yeah, like, there's just some relationships that are so fleeting that you don't have time to get that, like, messy kind of breakup. You just have that, like, you both know it's not going to work. You tried.
Yeah, this is
it was fun.
This is Taylor's version of Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a different, like, this song and kind of this feel of 1989 is a little bit of Taylor taking responsibility for maybe not always being the victim, which is so funny because you're coming off Red, which has All Too Well and all of these songs
mm-hmm.
where, like, she is heartbroken and devastated and we hate Jake Gyllenhaal. And now we're in 1989 where she's like, oh, wow. We tried, but wasn't it so fun?
So you said this is the only song that they re-recorded off of 1989?
Yeah.
Was this a popular track on the original?
Again, I think there's a lot of different theories. One is that it became popular again on TikTok and she wanted to capitalize on it. There's the heartbeat. She also licensed this. This is the first re-record song that she licensed. No. First or second, I don't really know. They're very similar in time frame, but they used it in the Disney movie Spirit Untamed.
And she didn't re-record Shake It Off?
Well, she's in a lawsuit about Shake It Off.
Oh, that's right.
We're on the copyright lawsuit, so we don't think she wants to do anything with that until that's kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't gotten there yet. And I think that's maybe why 1989 hasn't been done yet. Who knows? A lot of people think it's next. A lot of people think she's going to do debut next, Speak Now. Some people think that with the success of Fearless and Red, the company that owns her masters is just going to throw up their hands and be like, take them back. Fine. So who knows? There's so many like variables and things happening. We don't know. And she has been very quiet. We're all just over here waiting for her commencement address.
She may be just having private conversations with the old record company and she doesn't, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To figure things out.
And I'm sure, like, as a fan, I would love the re-recording because of the vault and it's really fun to kind of come back to these albums. But for her, I'm sure to own the originals would be so satisfying. And so, you know, it's worth it. I'm happy no matter what. Like, either way, we're going to at some point get more music from Taylor and it's going to be great. As she does her quest for the EGOT.
The EGOT. Do you think that when Taylor Swift has made her rock bra, her rock opera.
Oh, that would be fun.
Her Andrew Lloyd Webber-esque debut. Oh, you've done Cats, now you're doing the stage. Do you think that she's going to be on stage or do you think she's going to be the person who's like, I've produced it, I've helped write this, I've helped pick the cast, I'm going to watch? Or do you think she's going to be in some way, like, needs to be in it?
I feel like she might not. I would bet that she wouldn't be in it. I could be wrong. But I think there's something a little too self-indulgent for the Tony Awards, if that's what we're going for, to write, direct, star, produce. I think that's when people start to like raise an eyebrow and they're like,
Well, yeah, you gotta be a little, you gotta play the game a little bit. You have to have like the Mel Brooks cameo.
Yeah.
Like, you come on, you do two lines, you walk off stage and but it's like, still like that stole it for a second, but it didn't steal the whole show.
It's also such a commitment because if you're building this show and you're building it around yourself, can anybody else fill that role? Does that limit what your show can do?
Let's ask the cast and crew of Hamilton.
I mean, I feel like as soon as the original cast went their own ways, a lot of the buzz died down around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corona hit, so who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the minute that if you create this thing and you are the creative nucleus
mm-hmm.
and you are no longer the star of it, somebody else is going to come in, put their own spin. Is this, how does that work?
Yeah. what do they call it? It was like the philosophical question of like Jason the Argonauts, his ship. Like his ship was found and they took it apart and they put it into a museum. Is it still the same ship? Like as you take away the pieces of wood that have crumbled and rotted and you're putting new ones on, is it still the same ship at the end of it? If you're taking out the cast members and putting in new cast members, if you're taking away, you know, the small bits and putting new bits in.
In some ways it works. I mean, there are these touring productions and there are these productions of like Wicked. Wicked has been out there touring forever and ever and ever and will probably be touring long after all of us are gone.
It's constantly defying gravity. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like that one, because it's not, there's no iconic piece of that anymore because it's been in the zeitgeist for so long and so many people have played. You know, it's not just Kristen Chenoweth anymore.
Yeah, it's not just Adnan de Menzeli.
Yeah, they've all kind of moved into different things. And most people didn't know who they were because they weren't huge stars when it started. So you were able to kind of have other actors come in and make it their own. But I think when you're a superstar like a Taylor Swift and you come in, people want to see Taylor Swift.
So what if Taylor's like, hey, you know what? I really want to do this show. However, it's been a long time since I've been on tour. What if she immediately just starts with, like, we're doing the Taylor tour?
I don't think that gets her a Tony. Does that get her a Tony?
I don't know. Has it been done before?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't. Broadway is not my, like, expertise. I like a Broadway show. Love a Broadway show. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe she just decides to take a turn in Chicago like everyone else does.
I mean, life is a cabaret.
Different. That's a. Nope.
She had not it that coming. Ship.
There you go.
Here's my fear with Taylor Swift is that she's going to spend all this time, unless she gets a deal with her old record company to just give her back her stuff, she's going to spend all this time re-recording all this back catalog. And by the time she's done, she's not going to have anything left in the tank for new stuff. And she's going to end up like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Pink, Missy Elliott, Madonna, and all of them. And that's a bummer. You know what I mean? You got to think about that. Like, I hope she's thinking about, like, am I going to put out new music ever again? Or am I going to end up being one of these, you know, tabloid persons like these other ones?
I think, a lot of prevalent theories in the TikTok realm are that, is she going to be oversaturated? Like, if she just, like, drops album after album after album, and we're like, more music, more content, more music, more content. And then where does the fatigue set in? Like, when do you just get tired of hearing Taylor Swift re-record, Taylor Swift back, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift? When does she become that fever pitch where she gets to the top again and then she's going to get knocked down?
Like, well, no, I get.
And I think she learned a lot because with this 1989 record, she was fully pop. I mean, all the Grammys, all the awards, all the accolades, all the huge tour. She's everywhere, and then it all gets pulled out from under her, and Taylor Swift is canceled, and you're seeing, like, her wildest dreams came true, and now she's being crucified everywhere. People are talking about how annoying she is, how she's racist, how she's a terrible person, how, like, over her, the collective society is. And so I don't think she wants to go back to that. And so I think that's why you don't see her out often. That's why we don't hear from her. Her social media is very, very much like when she feels that it's appropriate or if it's something she has to announce, she'll come out. But it's not constant pictures of what she's doing, who she's hanging out with, where she is, like it used to be. I think she is so concerned about being oversaturated that she's very much not putting everything into it and everything out there. And I think that's how she's kind of protecting herself from the burnout. Because when you have a life outside of it and you have this relationship that's not in the public sphere and you're able to kind of leave public Taylor in her space and pull back and be a normal human being as much as she can, that gives her some of the space that I don't think we saw with Christina and Britney and even to some extent Missy and Pink, because she's just not there for consumption anymore. Like, we talk about how we really haven't heard from her since New Year's and her birthday. And then a little pop in of, oh, I've got a new song coming out for Where the Crawdads Sing. You'll hear it soon. and then silence again.
I think going off of both of these points, like, it's, is it more important for the artist to go backwards and claim ownership and re-release these things, or is it more important for her to keep moving forward and create new content? And going off of the extreme saturation that was Taylor Swift and everything, and on the news, if we want to call it news, and the social media on everything, we have seen artists like Bowie, like Prince, who have reached a pinnacle of prominence, that have reached a constantly being talked about in tabloids, constantly being sought after to get a photo of, what's the gossip, what's the hot thing, when are we going to get more stuff, step away from it, make content still and put it out there, but it never received that same radio play, it never received that same fanfare, but they were still making content, and they were doing different things. They're doing like a jazz festival now, or they're doing this tour in France, they're doing something else, and the audience didn't really get lost, but what you lost was the people that wanted just, all I want is Party Prince, all I want is 1999, all I want is this. Those people fell off and the new ones came on.
See, I think that that's a good point, but it's hard to compare those artists with today's artists because the tabloids are completely different. Social media is different. The push and pull, the way you connect to your fans is so different. It's so instant now. Taylor can be like, pop, here's an album. And literally every one of her fans knows about it. She doesn't need a radio station to play it. She doesn't need the same mechanisms that Prince and Bowie would have needed to get it out to people. And that's, I think, allowing for today's artists to be more accessible and to get to change streams where those ones couldn't.
So I'm with you on that, definitely. I was listening to an interview. I want to say he's a younger rapper, Traps or Trapper or something like that. He was talking about why he didn't get his, like, he was releasing singles. He was releasing stuff. And everyone's like, why aren't you getting an album? Why aren't you getting an album? When are you getting an album? And he was talking with 50 Cent. And 50 Cent said, don't drop an album. Mixtapes. You're doing mixtapes. He's like, well, why am I doing mixtapes? He's like, you have to do this independent. You have all this gumption. You have all this promise. You have great stuff. But do it indie. Do it independently. Because if you do an album and then you try to go in and negotiate, they're going to say, well, look at your past sales. As opposed to if you go out there, do it on your own, and you're selling 20,000 units, then they say, well, we have to look at the future. How much are they going to make us more? As opposed to what did you just make us now? Like somebody who's going out there and taking a shot in the dark and not just doing the path that's already been laid out by everybody else. With Taylor, with what's going on, taking these steps back and just being like, you know what, I'm going to release some things, but now I'm not doing a full album. I'm doing a single. Yeah, you know what? I want to just do something for this movie. Yeah, you know what?
Like, well, that's not abnormal for her, though.
She's taking a page from John Mayer's book when John decided to just drop a couple singles once in a while, and we were like, what's up with that? Like every 4 months, a new single came out. Then he waited 2 years before he put on an album with those singles on it.
I mean, maybe. But Taylor has always had a thing where she does a one-off song for a movie, whether she's in it or not. We've seen that with from her a couple times. Like, that's pretty much in her formulaic. This isn't on my album. This is going for the soundtrack. But here's the song that you didn't know was coming. And for this one, I think she wanted to own her heartbeat. And this was really important to her to have this back in her ownership, where everything else can kind of wait, can kind of be held. She'll get to it when she gets to it. She'll have it. This is her re-recording time. We're all kind of aware. It's fun for her because she is still releasing new material that we haven't heard with Vault songs, but she's also releasing things that we've loved before. And so a lot of success. You know, in 2021, she only released Fearless and Red, both re-recordings, and she made $80 million. So I think it's so hard to try to put her into a, well, you know, these artists tried that and it didn't work for them, because her fan base is so different and the way she's been doing music is changing it for so many people. And the fact that like an artist can go on to TikTok and release music and then get it streamed, you're no longer really needing, you're not looking at record sales anymore. You're looking at how many streams do you have? How many followers do you have? What's your social imprint? And I think just the way everything has changed, mostly because of Corona, and people had to get off stage and they can't tour, they can't do open mic nights. And so you're just in this social media bubble where there's always content, there's always people putting out new stuff. If Prince and David Bowie were alive today and recording and making music, who knows what direction they could have gone in, because their fans would already be following them. And once you're following them, you're starting to get all of that content. So I think when you like look back and you try to put her into a historical perspective, you can't, because there's so many different things in music, and music has changed so much in the last 4 years that there's no way to kind of figure out how you're going to place this. It's like the Wild West all over again.
It's very much the rules have changed incredibly, and there's not a lot of rules going forward yet. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I think that it is interesting because it can be, or maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm just looking at things too definitely. Like, is this the artist that's just becoming more of the producer, or is this the artist that hasn't just taken that next step yet, and we're waiting for them to take the next step and put new content out there again? Like, what are we?
I mean, to be fair, and like, I would love a new Taylor album, or I would love it, but she's got 9 albums out, which is a lot, and she's 31. There's a lot of content out there, and each time she puts out a re-record, she's putting out new content with that re-record. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of straddling both old and new in a way that we've never really seen before.
Right.
So even when she's going backwards, she's still putting out new things.
Yeah. If you're doing a TikTok, or if you're doing a YouTube video or something, if you're doing something on social media as a content creator, you can spend one day a week making content and editing it, and you put it out there. And as soon as it's out, it's there forever.
Yeah.
If you're a recording artist, you have to spend days and weeks and however long making your album, getting your band together, recording it, and then it's out there forever.
Well, and they're still doing that. They're putting it out, and they're like, should I drop this as a single? Would you stream it? They're building excitement. Then they go into the studio, they record it professionally, and they put it on their Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So like, they're still doing the band and the studio work for an album, but they're building the excitement for it on their own,
right?
Without the radio, without.
And then it's multiple. Like, when everyone got very excited when we're getting the behind the scenes Beatles, like then when they're recording for, what was it, Abbey Road, or their last? Yeah, everyone got very excited because, oh, for the first time, we're gonna see like what it was like for them in the booth, what it was like for all of them. Mm-hmm. With artists today, you can see what it's like for them the day of, and the day after, and then the album. Mm-hmm. And it's creating multiple facets of content that can be, you can get money from YouTube for all the commercials, you can get notoriety from TikTok, and then you have people buying it. So yeah,
I think you have to stream it. Because I don't necessarily know people are really buying anymore.
So yeah, thank you for changing the terminology, because what I wanted to definitely agree with you on is it's not, album sales aren't as important now as subscribers or
streams.
That it's not just about what's the number of items being consumed. It's about the amount of people you can get that will consume, or at least taste.
Yes, but it's also like, we have subscribers on the podcast, mm-hmm. which is great, but we're really focused on the streams that we get. So right. Subscribers are great. They're the ones who know, like, take this out of the Swift Talk. I subscribe to Jason on Spotify, and every time he drops a new single, it says, April Showers is out now. And I hit play. And when we drop an episode on Wednesday mornings, people hit play when they get the notification. So that just is the like alert, the subscriber, mm-hmm. but the downloads and the streams, that's the people who are consuming it.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who are like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. My wildest dreams. I want like more out. So I think it's changing so rapidly, and it's really hard to like look at a context for it because there isn't one.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my wildest dreams, there someday will be a context for it.
I mean, I hope it's always evolving, and it's so impossible to figure out.
Well, you know what is possible to figure out?
what our next song will be.
What our next song will be.
And we have the dice out today and everything. We are ready and organized.
We have the D20 Taylor Swift dice. Thank you, Jill Petruzziello. We are rolling, rolling, rolling.
Haven't lost it yet.
Three.
Ooh, Speak Now.
Okay. What did I like from Speak Now?
Better Than Revenge.
Okay, cool.
What did you not like from Speak Now?
Probably the other songs.
Long Live.
Long Live, okay. Song number one.
Mine.
Okay. Taylor Swift.
Mine. Yep.
And wait, sorry, this isn't Fearless. This is what?
Speak Now,
okay. Speak Now, Mine. So we're going to listen to a bunch of seagulls fighting over Dory and Nemo's dad. Mine?
No.
Okay.
But if you want to think that all week, that's fine.
I'm going to go seagull. I'm going full seagull on this.
Koalas to seagulls. It's like a little zoo over here.
Yep. Well, I'm going to lock myself in after I throw away the chum bucket. Thank you, Kate, as always.
If you haven't already, we tried to make a TikTok and TikTok took it down. but we'll try again. Follow us on the socials. We really do try to create content. Could have seen Sam in a bow tie. And make sure that you have followed us so you can get the next episode notification on your Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Podcaster, wherever you listen. And if you feel like it, we would love a review.
Yes, please.
I'm Kate the Swiftie.
I'm the Seagull. Sam, I'm not so swift, Sam. There we go. I'm not so swift, Sam.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening this week. We'll be back next week here on the Swift Talk with Mine.